We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.
Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this eighth day of March 2024. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance movement. And tonight we have, well, our producer is ready to roll. Johnny. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, Pastor Ernie. Hello, America.
Hello. There you go. And way out, Leander, in Texas. Well, he's an author. He's a chaplain. He's a contributor to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. None other than the John McTernan.
Well, I'm a Johnny also, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, that's what I was called, Johnny. But hello, Pastor Ernie, and God bless you and all our listeners, and I think we're going to have a great show tonight.
Right. Which one of you two has Johnny come lately?
That would be me.
Well, I'm the senior statesman here, so he is.
Yeah, I think you're a tad bit older than this other one here. All righty. Hey, listen, John, do you want to know the title of the message this week?
Yes.
So many people, so unaware, didn't repent and didn't care. Now listen, I wrote a poem. You ready?
Yeah.
So many people, so unaware, embraced a salvation that was never there. They believed a message that someone sent, assuring them that there was no need to repent. Soon the day cometh when their soul the Lord will require, only to find a place reserved in the burning lake of fire. That's a poem by Pastor. Now,
that's pretty good, Pastor Ernie.
Is it?
Do you
by chance have a poem too?
Say it again, please.
Do you by chance happen to have a poem?
No.
That's all right. You can work on one and we'll hear it next time. All right, listen, we got to get moving tonight. We have a lot to do, so could you do this? Turn to Mark chapter 1 and read me verses 1 through 8.
I sure can. All right. Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him in all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel hair, with a girdle of skin about his loins, and did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, "There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and open. I indeed have baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost."
All right, we go back there, and we read in verse 3, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord and make his path straight." So who is he talking to? Who was actually the first preacher and pastor of the church in the Old Testament? Not in the Old Testament. Well, actually, it was here in the Gospel of Mark. John the Baptist actually had, yeah. He was the first one to come preaching Christ. He was the first preacher to preach the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation through him. But he was also preaching, preparing a way to prepare the way. Who was he preaching to prepare the way? He was preaching to some specific people.
Well, yeah, there was a lot of Pharisees there. They came from Judea, a lot of people, but the Pharisees came from Judea and Jerusalem.
That's true, that they were there to hear this. And, of course, for them, he was preaching repentance. But he was instructing those that were following him to prepare the way for the Lord, that one that was coming after him, and that was the Lord Jesus himself. Now, this guy, John the Baptist, had to be a pretty popular fellow, because, "And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins." But they went out to him. He was preaching. Where was he preaching when they went all out just to hear him?
Well, he was preaching nearby where the water was to baptize them.
Well, yeah, but no, before that, he was preaching out in the wilderness. And they went out in the desert. They were going out in the desert to hear him preach. And then he went to the river Jordan, and he baptized in that river. I tell you what, I wouldn't go in that river today.
There's much of a river there.
Pardon?
The wilderness, Pastor Ernie, was between Jerusalem and Jericho and Jordan, where the water was. So it wasn't like they went way, way out of their way. He preached probably, right between the two areas, and they followed him down to the Jordan to get baptized.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this then, because then we know that he was, again, came preaching the Lord Jesus. But the first thing he preached, the very first one to be preaching repentance was who?
Wow.
Noah. Noah preached repentance for 120 years.
Yeah, all right.
And then here comes John the Baptist preaching repentance. Now, the Word of Faith movement says that that repentance is not necessary for salvation at all. So what was the very first word that Jesus preached in his ministry when he started his ministry? Repent. That was the very first word that he preached. So what do you have to say to the Word of Faith movement?
Well, what I have to the Word of Faith movement is the Lord's admonition to the church before he was ascended into heaven, and that's in Luke 24, and it says, verse 47, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Actually, together, it starts at verse 46. "And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.
Okay, very good. So now here, we had the different kinds of repentance. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 8 through 11, we had repentance by an assembly, by a church, an assembly. And then in Psalm 51, verses 9 through 19, you had repentance by a couple, David and Bathsheba. And then in Exodus chapter 9, you had a false repentance where Pharaoh, and you know, and we were talking about this last night. We compared him with Joe Obama Biden. You know, here with Joe Obama Biden, encouraged the women. He had all those wicked, I mean wicked, very, very wicked, ungodly, unclean Democratic women who were cheering for abortion. Their platform that they're running on is killing children. This is how wicked. These are the same people, the same mindset that offered their children to Moloch. These women, it tells you that in Jeremiah 2, 43, they're wicked, or 34, they're wicked, wicked, unclean women. But Joe Obama, this wicked little man, he, you know, this is what he's all about. We compared him with Pharaoh, where Pharaoh said, kill all of the male babies born alive. What a wicked little man, is he not?
Pastor Ernie, there are enough, I don't think there's enough words in the English language to describe this man. I thought Obama was bad and Bill Clinton, they're progressively getting worse. Do you notice?
Yeah.
Clinton came and then we got a reprieve kind of from him, well, somewhat of a brief reprieve. And then Obama came, but he was much worse than Clinton. And now we have Biden coming, who was worse than all both of them combined.
Yep. So here now, we're going to go to a different one. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 6, Genesis 6, and read verse 6 and 7.
Okay. Hang on here, Pastor Ernie. Genesis chapter 6.
Verse 6 and 7.
Verses 6 and 7. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them.
Okay, so now here, God has done, has God done anything to be sorry for, okay? Is God not immutable, and does not he set his standard for righteousness? So here, how is that different than from when a man repents?
Well, a man repents is that he was doing wrong, and that he's now doing like an about face and repenting and following Jesus Christ as a savior.
So God is omniscient. Did he not know from the very get-go how man was going to turn out?
Yes. Christ was slain from the foundation of the earth.
So God knew from the very beginning how this was going to so was he sorry that he had made man, or was he sorry that it had to go that way, that this to fulfill his perfect plan for the future salvation of man, that it would have to go that way?
Well, no, what you said, he repented that he was sorry. There was sorrow with him, pity, I guess you could look at it too. And that's what was in his heart. I mean, he knew man was going to go that way, but he had great sorrow that man went that way.
Hmm. Could you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15? 1 Samuel chapter 15.
Okay.
Read me verses 10 and 11.
Verses 10 and 11. 1 Samuel 15:10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night.
Okay, so repentance here means a change of mind and heart regarding sin. God never changes his mind to do, because of what? His omniscient nature, right?
Right, right. Well, okay. The way I see this, Pastor Ernie, wasn't the children of Israel like sort of begging for a king?
Yeah. They were begging for, they wanted to be like the heathen nations.
Right.
We want a king.
Right, right. And God, they kind of, what's the word? I'm not going to say forced God's hand, but God said, all right, I'll send you a king. And Samuel anointed him, right? If I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah.
He anointed Saul. And Saul turned out to be, really bad. He looked good from the outside. But from the inside, he wasn't following what God wanted. But that's what the people wanted. And God said, all right, he told Samuel, they're rejecting me when they wanted the king.
Yep, exactly.
And Samuel was upset also in verse 11. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. So God had a great sorrow that he gave them what they wanted. And it turned out to be a disaster.
Okay. Would you read me verse 29?
Okay. 29. And also, the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he has not a man that he should repent.
Okay, so how can God both repent and not repent?
Well, it says here, when you read the whole text of it, and also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. So man has to repent for doing wrong, doing sin, rebellion, a whole list of things. But God does not have to repent of that. God does not have to repent because he doesn't lie. He's truthful. He never violates his word, his character.
Okay, so as in all his righteousness, God, he does not change his mind regarding the character of sin, her consequences here. So, again, it's referring to having his repentance, for he is not a man that he should repent or have a change of mind. It goes back to his omniscience, doesn't it?
Yes.
So it's not, is it contradictory to the verses 10 and 9 or 10 and 11, or is it appears to those observing what is being said here to be contradictory?
Well, you got to put it in context. I mean, there are scriptures after scriptures after scriptures that shows that like God is not a man that he should lie. So if he doesn't lie, he doesn't have to repent of lying. So you put it in context, and it's that sorrow. It boils down to sorrow.
You're a pretty smart fella.
Well, how long have I been with you?
All right. I'm going to do a little commentary. You ready?
No. Well, okay.
America is under judgment right now, but America is totally oblivious to her judgment. America needs to repent of her failure to seek God's will. Hosea 4:6 says, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they didn't, the knowledge was provided, but they rejected it. And then God says, because you have rejected me, my law, I will reject you and your children. Has God rejected? Do we see our children being rejected here today?
Absolutely, Pastor Ernie. I mean, we see them at a young age. They're trying to introduce them to homosexuality and trying to take boys and convince them that they're really little girls and girls that they're really boys, and then introducing them to homosexuality, pornography in the schools, introducing them to drag queens, Pastor Ernie, and all sorts of godliness in the schools, not godliness, but ungodly. Yeah, and now they're being trafficked. You know, they're scooping the kids up and trafficking them. Absolutely, Pastor Ernie, and that's because when we reject the Lord as a nation, and we have, we rejected prayer and Bible reading in schools, then we legalized abortion, we legalized homosexuality, we legalized homosexual marriage, quote, homosexual marriage. That's repudiating God and his word. And when we do that, what's left? But the satanic realm comes in like a flood. Then there's no protection for the children. Satan goes, he's going right after the children.
Absolutely. Here.
So this has been going on, Pastor Ernie. This, what we're looking at now, did not just start like when Biden came, become president. I mean, we go back to the early 60s, when the church in America just didn't think it worthy to stand up against the ungodly who wanted God out of the schools. Well, that was actually out of government, but they started off with the schools. So now look at the schools. Pastor Ernie, back in when you were a kid, I was a kid, the American school system was the envy of the world. It really was. And when in 63, they ended, they wanted God out of the school system. Look at it today.
We were number one scholastically in the whole world when I was a kid in school. Number one. And then back in 1962, what happened?
Well, you always stop at 62. It's 63, prayer and Bible reading. They go together. One year, the prayer was thrown out, and the following year, the Bible reading was thrown out. It's unconstitutional.
So when God was expelled from the school, the door was left open. Who came in?
Yeah, well, Satan came in, and it took a while for him to fill that void. Just, Pastor Ernie, I was just reading in Massachusetts. The governor, I don't know if the governor did or didn't, but they wanted the governor to call out the National Guard to come into some school in the Boston area to bring it under control. The National Guard into a high school to bring it under control. When I went to school, the big thing was maybe some fistfights in the boys' room and smoking cigarettes in the back of the bus. I mean, that was the big problem, if you want to look at it like that. Today, the National Guard, bring the National Guard into the schools.
So is that where you went to smoke to the back of the bus?
No, I never smoked a cigarette.
Oh, okay. No marijuana. All right. Okay, America is blood guilty of killing its preborn and elderly. The wages of sin is death. Genesis 9, 5 through 7. The Bible says, repent or perish. America has forgotten her God and is being turned into hell. Psalm 9, 17. It says that all nations that forget their God will be turned into hell. We're seeing America turn into hell all over, but there is a contingent. Like tonight, John, I have to tell you that, the idea was this issue went in Ohio. The enemy, the communists, the Antichrist group thought that they had taken all of the steam out of us, but boy, I've never seen such a, there was about 1,000 very, very active pro-lifers there tonight at bringing America back to God. It was really powerful. Hang tight. We'll be right back right after this.
Big John. Big John.
He was born of Elizabeth, the son of Zechariah, sent by God the Father to proclaim the Messiah. He was as bold as a lion, he knew no fear, an awesome man in a coat of camel hair.
Big John,
Big John, Big Baptist John.
Big John.
In the wilderness of Judea, you could hear him there. He was preaching repentance. It was very loud and clear. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, better listen, Pharisee. He preached to the sinner, the thief, and the liar. Only one way out of that burning lake of fire. The truth thundered forth from this righteous man, and those that believed found the promised land.
Big John. Big John,
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Chosen by the Father to baptize the Son, it was there in the Jordan this awesome thing was done. The Holy Ghost descended as if it were a dove. A mighty voice thundered from heaven above. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. John, his friend, none greater than he. He told all the people about God the Son. He never quit preaching till the job was done.
Big John, Big John,
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Now 2,000 years later, the story is still being told. How he was thrown into prison for being so bold. He was martyred for God. To him it was an honor. He earned himself a mansion, heaven way out yonder, Big John. Now John's enemies, they perished in their shame, but John took his place in the Saints' Hall of Fame. Now in heaven above, the angels understood, when John preached repentance, he sure did it good, Baptist John. Now there's one thing John wants you to know. It's a fearful matter to lose your own soul. So call upon the Lord while you still can. And better take the advice of this mighty righteous man.
Big John, Big John,
Big Baptist John,
Big John,
Big Baptist John,
Big John,
Big Baptist John.
Big
Baptist John.
Big Baptist John.
Big Baptist John. All righty, we are back. Hey, folks, this coming Sunday, Doors of the Word Baptist Church. The morning service is the normal time. Bible study starts at 8:30. In depth. Then at 9:30, there's another Bible study. And then a regular service starts at Doors of the Word Baptist Church at 11:30. And then at the 5 p.m. service, you have the Polish Patriot Pastor, that fellow that's been raising all that ruckus up there in Canada, the one who stood his ground and refused to let the Communist Party shut his church down and vaccinate with a death shot everybody. That's Pastor Arturo Pawlowski. He will be in my pulpit, Lord's willing, this coming Sunday at 5 p.m. at Doors of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road, 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, Ohio. And for more information, you can call 440-338-1367, 440-338-1367. And now we're going to go to Nate Kane. Hey, Nate.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going okay. How's it going with you, my friend?
Yeah, I think last time we talked, or the last time I called in, you were not doing too well. You were under the weather.
Yeah, I ended up getting double pneumonia. That's a bummer. That'll wreck your weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just got over something. I don't know if it was COVID or flu or RSV, but this was a couple weeks ago, but it had me down for about 10 days.
Yeah. We have Big John McTurnan with us. Say, hey, Big John.
Hello, brother.
Hey. I was just listening to that song, Big Baptist John. That was pretty cool.
Yep. Boy, that fella can sing that wrote that song, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You hear that, John?
I won't rain on your parade, Pastor.
All righty, very good. Okay, well, listen, you're a state representative there in West Virginia, and you're running for Congress. Boy, do we need you in Congress. Boy, do we need you in Congress. We've got to take America back, don't we?
We absolutely do. And, you know, what I'm seeing right now is it's just a unbelievable amount of problems that are building up around this country. And it seems like, you know, in regards to the Biden administration, they're just letting them happen, whether it's the border.
No, they're making them happen. They're making them happen.
I think you're right. It seems like they're trying to bring a collapse. You know, you look at the border and look at the situation there, and I mean, it's just there's no excuse for it. You look and see what's going on with the military. I was just reading today, Heritage.org. They had put out a report on military readiness and military strength, and it's the worst I think it's been in my lifetime.
My lifetime too.
Yeah, we don't have what we need in order to fight a.
And it's not by accident. That's a very concerted effort by starting with Obama. Starting with Obama to undermine and to weaken our military.
Yeah, you see that. Yeah, everywhere you go, you see that Biden has essentially reversed any policy that Trump had put into place that was a good policy. Especially look at the energy, you know, and we were energy independent. We were, you know, had a surplus. We were actually filling up our strategic energy reserve. And, you know, Biden basically went and sold it off to the Chinese. I really feel like, you know, we're in dire straits. And even if, you know, Trump gets in there, which we absolutely must have Trump in there. And even if you had me in there and you had, let's just say, for the sake of argument, that every person who got elected in this election was a righteous person, I really believe it's going to take a miracle, and we are going to need God's help to turn things around. I really do believe that.
Well, that's what we were. Let me tell you, it takes repentance to do that.
Absolutely.
The last part of my message that I preached on repentance was to turn over to 2 Chronicles 7:12-16. And that's the answer. The remedy is there. God's given us the remedy, but if the people would only believe, but their eyes are dim and their ears are dull of hearing. And it's America is standing in the shadow of an angry God, a holy God and a just God. And the Bible says he's angry with the wicked every day, every day.
Yes. Yeah. And I think God is grieved, because I think what's going on right now in our country is, you know, I think we are under judgment, and I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. But the sad part is that, you know, God doesn't want that for us. He'd prefer not to remove his hand of blessing, but it's clear that his hand of blessing has been, you know, pulled back, and we're beginning to see, you know, what life is like without God's, you know, presence, without his protection over our nation. Our founders understood that. That's why they talked about the providence of God. They understood that our country would not survive without morality, without religion, without God. So I am the one thing that I'm hopeful about is that the only reason I'm running right now is because I believe God called me to. There's no way that I would run right now for political office unless I felt compelled by the Lord to do so, because I think with as bad as things are going to get, and as bad as they are currently right now, I think that you'd have to be out of your mind or extremely arrogant to run for political office. Because when things start going bad, the first people that the American citizens are going to look at and blame for all this mess is probably going to be Congress. So I understand that going into this, and I am praying at every step of the way. And at first, when I first got into this, I really didn't want to do it. You know, it was more out of what I believe is just obedience to God. But what's happened is I've traveled around the state, and I've been
you know, all over the place. I mean, we've put about 60,000 miles on our vehicle since we started this in January of 2023. But what's happened is we've met so many really good people, righteous people, people that love the Lord, they love their country, and people that, love their state and their community, their families. And, you know, I say we because my wife, she goes with me everywhere. I made her my campaign manager that way. She can't get away from me. Or more or less, I can't get away from her. We're a team. And what we found is that we've made so many close relationships with people all over the state now that when we're fighting for issues or we're fighting for something, it's no longer a chore. It's no longer even done out of duty. It's done because we love the people that we're fighting for. You know, we're fighting for our friends and our family and for people that we consider, you know, to be, you know, like family now.
Well, if you actually feel that God is calling you to do this, if you have that, then you do it with all your might because, you know, God is going to get you right where he wants you, right when he wants you, and he can do it his way or your way. And you remember that fellow, who was his name, Jonah? Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, did he?
Yeah, yeah.
He got there, though, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He got a fish ride. He never wanted to do another fish ride, did he?
Never want to do one of those.
No. But, you know, here's the thing. Let's ask John McTurnan a question, all right?
Sure, okay.
Hey, John. Listen, if God was ready, willing to spare Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 righteous men, what will it take to spare America?
Pastor, it'll take the remnant of America. And what exactly, you know, how big the remnant is, I don't know. But it's not, you know, a large percentage. It'll take a remnant of the believers in Jesus Christ to cry out to him in repentance and ask for a mighty move of the Holy Spirit to permeate the nation and win the lost. And get us back on a track towards godliness.
Absolutely. And so let me ask you this. Amen. What percentage of those that are professing to be Christians in this country actually are, do you think?
It's not the majority, I'll tell you that.
Boy, you're not kidding about that.
I heard a pastor, very, very wise, older pastor once tell me, he said the first two questions that we're going to ask when we get to heaven is, hey, where's brother so-and-so, and how did you get here?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess we're going to run into people we didn't expect to be there, huh?
That's right.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of bedside conversions in my time is going to being called to the hospitals and the nursing homes when people were dying. And at the last minute, they converted and called upon the name of the Lord. And luckily, by God's grace, he gave them that time to do that. But that's not the case for everybody. So everybody should make their salvation sure, huh?
Absolutely.
We have a long way to go. See, Nate, you know, the reality is this. We have the people in this country that have committed high treason. High treason.
That's right.
Obama started that. He weaponized the intelligence agency against us. The Department of Justice should be cleaned out from top to bottom. The FBI, they've turned on the American people. They're not working with us. We have, right now in America, we have 5 million national Chinese, 5 million national Chinese, and we have, 50,000 literal Chinese soldiers. These are national Chinese, you know, soldiers that plain clothes, they're here. And they know that, and the FBI knows that. They're on our American soil now. And it's an estimated 47 million illegals that have come in here since 2000. Yeah. And that's a whole lot more than they kept telling us about 11 million. They're here. That's a whole lot of people. And every single day, John, how many people is Biden flying in or Obama flying in you know, to different cities in this country, from the, what do you call it, trail up there in Panama?
I don't know, Pastor Ernie, but the reports that I've seen is like hundreds of thousands. They fly them into, they give them a free ticket to any city they want to fly into in the United States.
Well, let's tell them what Sheriff Grady Judd reveals, how the U.S. federal government provides unlimited plane tickets to illegals for free to any destination in the U.S. and traffics women in sex trades this way. Now, we talked this week about there in Texas, down there where you live, John, they have what they call the rape trees, the rape trees. And these women that are coming in, they have to pay about $7,000 apiece to get smuggled in here. But then they're told that they're going to get raped, maybe more than once, maybe. And they have to agree with that. They have to agree to be allowed to get raped. And then they hang their panties on a tree as kind of a trophy, showing this is... And so, and this is Joe Obama Biden, that the commander and pedophile in chief, and that's the reality, there in that White House. He is doing exactly what his Chinese master said. They told him, you keep that border open, you keep the drug, the fentanyl coming in, you keep a good supply of children for child sex trafficking. And Nate, the Democratic Party, the leadership in the Democratic Party, it's flush, Joe. It's Nate, it's flush with pedophiles.
Oh yeah, it's flush with Satanists.
Yeah,
I mean at this point, you know, what else can you say about, you know, a party that would stand for abortion all the way up to and even after, you know, 9 months? I mean, that is that's infanticide. It's demonic. You know, there was a time where even the most liberal Democrats said that they wanted abortion to be safe and I can't remember, but basically safe and
rare.
Now they want it all the way up to 9 months and beyond, and you know, and they applaud. I remember seeing New York legislature applauding when they, you know, when they approved abortion all the way up to 9 months.
Yeah, and beyond. They're wicked. Yeah,
God doesn't look lightly on that. I really honestly feel like if there's a national sin that we're going to pay for, it will likely be that.
And look at the state of New York. 2,000 people leave there every day. Every single day they're leaving by 2,000 a day, and they're heading towards...
Those that are leaving are very wise to leave, because when God's judgment falls on a city or falls on a you know, a place where there's great evil being done, it's not going to be pleasant.
No, it's not going to be pleasant. And I was just listening to a trucker that's boycotting. He's one of many, many that refuse to deliver any goods to New York. Now they're boycotting that wicked state. Now I know there's a lot. We have a lot of listeners. We're in all five boroughs in New York, and there's some really good people there. And I feel bad for them because they have to live there.
However, you know, as we've seen, and as John was mentioning about the remnant, God does protect people. And when there are, and sometimes he has a, you know, a righteous remnant that he leaves behind to, you know, to be the seed, essentially, to restart and rebuild things. And, but it's, we are definitely headed for difficult times. You know, you were mentioning about the border and issues going on there. One of the ones that concerns me quite a bit is the fentanyl problem. Right now, last year, there were over 100,000 Americans that died due to fentanyl overdose. When you think about that number and you compare that to 3 years of Vietnam, where we lost 50,000, you know, soldiers, roughly.
58,000, yeah.
That's right. So that was over a three-year period, but yet we lost over 100,000 last year in the United States, civilians, and it's the leading cause of death between the ages of 18 and 45 right now in America.
Yeah.
This is war. Whether we want to admit it or not, we are already at war.
The Chinese are
fueling it, because the Chinese Communist Party, they are allowing these companies to sell the precursor chemicals for fentanyl directly to the cartel.
Absolutely. And they're bringing them in here. And that's all a part of it.
Yeah. I understand that West Virginia in particular has been hit hard by the fentanyl and the drug problem.
That's right. We have the highest number per capita of people who have overdosed from it. That's why it's such a concern to me and it's such a problem. I can't go anywhere in the state without meeting somebody who's been affected by it.
Oh, where are you located in West Virginia?
I live in Berkeley County. It's out in the eastern panhandle. And my district runs from basically from the entire northern half of the state, so about Wood County on up, you know, through the northern panhandle. And you kind of cut across, it covers Randolph County and Grant and then everything north of there.
Yeah, my wife is from St. Albans.
Okay.
Well, how can
I'll tell her I was talking to you.
All right. Yeah.
If she's got family that still lives there, she should tell them about me. You know, I don't know if I will, but I will tell you, I am praying and I am hoping for the sake of this state that if the Lord's will is for me to win, that I will win. And if it's not, then I'm praying and hoping that all, and I've gotten to the point now where I'm praying for the other candidates even. I'm asking God to move their hearts towards him in all of our elections because we need godly men and women to get in there because we're going to need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in order to be able to navigate the storm that we're heading into.
You know what? That's an idea. We have a whole lot of people from coast to coast listening. John, would you ask, lead us all in a prayer asking that God would put him in. If it be God's will, we need people like Nate in office there in West Virginia. Would you do that?
Yes, yes. Abba Father, we have Brother Nate before you, and he honors you. He's a God-fearing man. He is exactly what we need in office. In fact, we need hundreds and hundreds and hundreds like him. Lord, we're asking to have mercy on us and the state of West Virginia, and that you would allow him, you would place him into office, and he would be a man of resolve. He would not be compromised in any way, shape, or matter. He will honor you at all times, and that you will greatly bless him as a leader, a political leader. And I ask for your protection around him and his family, Lord. And we thank you, thank you, thank you for him. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, John. How can the folks out there help you out there with donations or whatever, Nate?
Well, you know, that issue right there, and I want to just real quickly talk about it, but there's a problem in politics today. And, you know, we know that we got a lot of corrupt politicians down in Washington, D.C., but the fact is they begin corrupting people before they're even in office. They begin corrupting them through the political process of campaigning. One of the things that God has really moved on my heart is not to take money from the corporate PAC and the special interest groups and a lot of these super PACs and things like that, because what ends up happening is you end up owned before you even go down there. And so every dime that has come into our campaign has come from individual donors in 40 different states, in fact. And we've actually raised quite a bit of money, but, you know, it's not anywhere near my opponent. But I also know that God likes an underdog story. He likes to get the credit. And so I kind of look at this situation that if I win, it'll be a little bit like David and Goliath, because I've got a very formidable opponent that has over $600,000 in his war chest. I've raised about $120,000, and it's been in direct donations. Without holding a single fundraiser, by the way, except for we had one lady's fee that we had, held, and we brought in like $1,700 from it, which was, you know, that was amazing because it was with eight women. But the best way that people can help me is to donate to my campaign, and I would only ask that people pray, and they ask the Lord, you know, whether or not they should give, and if so, how much. But we need to raise money because we do have to do ads. We do need to continue to print signs and materials. And this race is going to be a lot about name recognition. And so people can make a donation to my campaign by going to my website, natecainforwv.com. That's NATECAIN, the number 4, www.wv.com. There is a link in the upper right-hand corner where people can donate directly to our campaign. And that money goes directly to the campaign. It doesn't go to the RNC or anything like that. But we do need people's help. We need people's prayers. This is, I will tell you, it is exhausting. I work a full-time job from 6 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon, and then, you know, we're campaigning. And oftentimes I'm not getting the rest that I probably should be taking. But I tell you what, I understand, you know, I get it. When Jesus, you see him, and he was doing ministry before the crowds, and afterwards he needed to just to go be alone with God and take a moment to recharge himself and to pray. I feel that oftentimes. And it feels a lot like ministry, because what we're doing in our campaign that's been, I think, very different than what most campaigns do. The Lord gave me a dream back in just around Labor Day. And in that dream, he made it very clear to me. He wanted me to focus on serving the people and not striving, and that he would do the rest. And then he proved to me later that next day exactly what he had showed me in the dream. Because we went to a town where we had never been, and we were going there to serve the people and to help fight for their issues of, you know, of needing clean water. Because they had a lot of toxic, polluted water in the aquifer. And as soon as we crossed over the city limits, there were three signs of mine on the right side, and then one on the left, and then another one on the right, and another one on the left. And we turned down the road to the park where they were having a music festival, and there were two more of my signs. I'd never even been to this town. And those are the types of things that God has been showing me in this campaign. He keeps telling me, don't strive. Focus on serving the people, and he'll do the rest.
And all so right.
That's what we've been doing.
You've got 1 minute left. 1 minute left. Go ahead and finish up.
The last thing I'll say, and the Lord told me to tell people this, when this year is extremely important, and we need to be fasting and praying. I am going to be doing that, and I'm asking for everybody for one day, just one day, the National Day of Prayer, which falls right before our primary, and the primaries of many states for that matter, which will be in May 14th. I'm asking for people to please fast and pray for our nation and ask the Lord to please put godly people in power. And ask for God to forgive our nation. And that is what I'm going to be doing. I've asked, you know, everywhere I go, I'm asking people to do that.
We thank you very much, Nate. We are out of time here for tonight, but thank you so much for being here. We will do that. We will do keep you in prayer, and we'll maybe have you back before the primary. Be back after this. We'll be right back. Hang up, folks. Be back with a whole lot more. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.